Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. I'm excited to welcome from Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? What's going on?
Great, Neil. We're going to do part two of a program that we did started last week. And the title is Wearing a Face Mask, A Careful Review of the Evidence. Now, if you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen to it before you listen to this so that you'll know what I had to say last week. You can get there by going to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. And you spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No spaces and no capitalizations. So let's get on with it. With a focus on facial mask, where do we stand? Well, our position is based on science. We contend that surgical and cloth masks are basically facial coverings that lack any scientific data to support their use, and that they are largely cosmetic and function more to give the user a sense of confidence and security as it pertains to the COVID pandemic. We're basing this on an examination of the totality of the evidence to date. Except for the N95 mask, typically used for hospital and high-risk settings, and usually accompanied by gowns, gloves, and other PPE, and only when properly fitted to allow for an optimal seal to the face, and only when changed often, is there effectiveness in mitigating respiratory virus spread. There is simply no defensible rationale to treat this pandemic other than using age and risk targeted approaches and fostering optimal hand washing hygiene. The vastly rational and sensible way is to target high risk people, that is, those at risk of developing severe disease and or dying, and allow everyone else to get on with their lives. With this in place, we strive to safely and with sensible precautions reopen society and schools in full. It is as simple as that. And on top of this, we have strong evidence of the use early on of repose, existing, safe, cheap, and effective therapeutics in higher risk COVID positive persons in private homes or nursing home settings who are showing initial symptoms. When used early in the outpatient setting, these drugs, sequence combined antivirals, corticosteroids, and antithrombolytic, anti-clotting drugs, can help reduce isolation, mitigate transmission, and cut hospitalizations and death significantly. The implication of the policies like restrictions and masking are far-reaching, and such policies must be based on evidence. The current policies causing crushing harm to our society and cannot be based on the notion of stopping COVID at all cost. Stopping COVID at all cost without factoring in implications societally is a completely illogical, irrational, damaging, and unattainable goal. Before proceeding to the key evidence on the effectiveness or not of face coverings and masks, we wish to highlight research that is highly applicable. This surrounds recently emerging evidence that COVID-19 spread is so exceedingly rare in asymptomatic persons as to have virtually no impact in the grand scheme of things. Given that there are very strong data to support this contention, then we state at the outset that universal masking has no merit and cannot be supported by reliable data or research. In an article published in Nature Communications, November 2020, that studied 10 million eligible persons, it was demonstrated that asymptomatic spread was not merely rare, but in fact, does not appear to happen at all. Not one instance was found in the study whereby researchers reported that there were positive tests emerging even amongst close contacts of asymptomatic cases. And this sample of 10 million. Why would we even consider then the need for universal masking when there is evidence like this of limited asymptomatic spread? We also point out, and also we recognize and appreciate, that this argument is far from being one based on strong evidence per se. That if tens of studies or more are required to prove one way or the other whether a procedure is effective or not, and therefore lead to changes in the standard of care, and there is still no reliable data, the effects are either minimal or non-existent. Hence, it can be reasoned that there is no meaningful effect in the first place. Such an argument can be used for the masking dilemma. All this is to say that there is and was no scientific justification to mandate or call for voluntary masking of healthy people. None. And we also suggest that this straightforward reasoning can be applied to most often the other mitigating efforts being implemented to date, specifically societal lockdowns and school closures. We continue to argue that most of this has been arbitrarily constructed by government leaders and their medical experts. These policies are not merely misguided, but they are also not without serious and adverse consequences. They have caused crushing harm and have been very injurious at a personal and societal level. Restrictive policies have not been thought through as to the implications at large. The benefits have not been assessed or considered alongside the potential and documented harm, and this is a catastrophic omission from the perspective of sound public health policy and principles. In short, the bureaucracy has provided us with confusing and often contradictory policy supported by a lack of clarity, sheer assumptions, and nonsense in general, and in this case, in relation to universal masking, our leadership and experts have failed to recognize the crushing harm that assault from their arbitrary and, even worse, capricious policies that lack any reliable evidentiary support. It might also be expected that in light of the apparent groundbreaking seminal research to which we alluded to above, this would not only be covered widely by mainstream media and, of course, our experts, but that would clarify and help settle issues pertaining to asymptomatic spread, lockdowns as in general, school closures, and, of course, in this case, masking. Amazingly, though, There has been no acknowledgement of this work. And yet, such findings that could bear on evidence, inform decision-making, were ignored entirely. Moreover, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the NIAID is now supporting, or at least not discouraging, the call for the use of double masks. To paraphrase him, it makes common sense to wear two masks instead of one. Yet this flies in the face of extant data showing that the use of single mask has not provided any protection insofar as the progress of the pandemic is concerned. In fact, just the opposite. In virtually every jurisdiction in which mask wearing was mandated, there were very large increases in the rates of infection, or at least PCR positivity, to be more accurate. Despite this, Dr. Fauci has responded by raising the double mask approach, stating that it likely does work in relation to offering more protection. What happened to following the science and the need for randomized control trials on the use of double masks? It seems that we follow science only when it supports our preconceived notions or goals. What was stated on double masking was utter nonsense. Dr. Fauci likely did not read the Marine Recruit Charm National Journal of Medicine study, whereby the recruits consistently wore double-layered masks, yet there was still spread in the most heavily monitored for compliance and restricted to military environment. Did Dr. Fauci also consider the possibility that with double mask, wearers will be likely have more difficulty in simply breathing comfortably? And what would be the consequences for those with pulmonary disease, upper respiratory infections, others with difficulty breathing without a mask, and most importantly, for children? Wearing a mask, let alone two potentially simultaneously stimulates COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, akin to what smokers commonly get. Masks can make it difficult for one to breathe out, especially during stressful situations. We cannot say here, because we don't know, absence of scientific data, but neither does Dr. Fauci. At worst, the advice regarding the use of double masking, why not triple or even four or five masks, is arbitrary and has no scientific basis. Then why put it out there? This reflects a dissonance to anyone that disrupts the set narrative that at this stage of the pandemic happens to be more political, in our view, than scientific or evidence-based. To add to the confusion, Dr. Fauci followed this up by stating, when questioned about his statement by the media, that there is no data to show that double masking works. So, what then is the public to believe? We cannot claim to think for Dr. Fauci and similar medical experts. But why do medical experts with a podium consistently in this COVID pandemic lend so much misinformation and confusion to the public? They consistently make statements with no data or evidence to back them up. They cause great confusion and distrust by doing this. As noted above, the data show that Dr. Fauci's confusing about faces concerning advice as to the management of the pandemic issues, including on masking, was perhaps arbitrary at best. As regards masking, it is simply impossible to understand ongoing recommendations for this when we know that there are multiple U.S. states where it can be shown clearly that after implementing masking mandates, the number of cases went up. Outside of the United States, there is also global data showing that when mask mandates were implemented in Austria, Germany, France, Spain, UK, Belgium, and Italy, to name a few, the case numbers went up, not down. Stay tuned for our next in the series, part three, and you can reach that at www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Libsyn is spelled L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. Use no capitalizations and no spaces. And pass this information along to your friends. It is crucially important. I would like to share with you now the some of the list of my source experts on this report so that you can Google them and find out who has been talking to you besides myself. And they are Dr. Paul E. Alexander, Master of Science, PhD, McMaster University. Howard Tenenbaum, DDS, PhD, Center for Advanced Dental Research and Care, Mount Sinai Hospital, University of Toronto. Raymond Oskoui, spell that O-S-K-O-U-I, M-D, CEO of Foxhall Cardiology, PC, Washington, D.C. Harvey A. Risch, M.D., Ph.D., Yale School of Public Health, New Haven, Connecticut. Peter A. McCullough, M.D., M.P.H., Baylor University Medical Center, Baylor Heart and Vascular Institute. And Nicholas E. Alexander. Now, these are some of the experts that have helped me with this presentation. And Neil, thank you for presenting this to your followers also.
All right. That was such a great show. That was Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Justice, Will, Service to the Neil Haley Show. Take care.